This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Monday, January 29th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be winging it with you for the next 2 hours. Most of the show, I was putting the final touches on this program or the show this morning, and my computer crashed. And when I'm putting content in here to share with you, I have to hit save to make sure that it comes back. Well, I didn't hit save before my computer crashed this morning, and I lost about two-thirds of the content. So I'm going to see if I can piece most of this together via memory. I've got a few clips to share with you today. I may omit a few things. I don't know, but I may turn around and do another show on the same subject matter in a little bit more elaborate detail, but I can't do it today because I don't have a photographic memory. So with that, folks, bear with me. Happy Monday to you. I wanted to mention tomorrow night. Now, Donald Trump is going to give a State of the Union address. And I got a message from Susan Lindauer, who I had invited her up on my show. She's going to come up Wednesday. She's going to have the whole 2 hours. And evidently, she said something along the lines, and I don't know whether to believe this or not. She said Nancy Pelosi is going to pack the Congress, the seats in Congress, the visitor seats, with immigrants and try to disrupt Donald Trump's speech. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but she wants to come up and absolutely rail on this immigration thing. So I told her, I said, you got the floor, you can come on and take as long as you wish. So that being said, the program that I have today, I was doinking around on the internet, as I always do, you know, looking for interesting things to share with you. And I ran across an anonymous well, that's not a documentary. It was just an anonymous sharing with a soldier, former soldier, and he wished to remain anonymous, and I'm going to go through that with you. But I want to share with you today the complicity in the profits and the partnership at the expense of humanity, the profits that are being gained from the media, you know, from the Pentagon, from the defense contractors and the no-bid contracts, the politicians that have insider information on these no-bid contracts and enhance their stock portfolios at the expense of human beings around the world, and Big Pharma is involved in this as well. I mean, it is an ugly situation here, folks, and I have to tell you that the more I go into this, the more research I do, the more I learn that I have to learn about this to share with you, and it's disgusting. It is absolutely villainous. It is disgusting. These people have no empathy. They have no compassion for their fellow human beings. All they care about is how fat their bank accounts get. So, you know, John had mentioned, I think it was last week on his program, he was giving statistics on the amount of soldiers that have died in Iraq. I think it was like 7,600 or something like that. The ones that come home wounded are, you know, exponentially higher than that. But even increasingly more disturbing is that 22 people a day, 22 soldiers coming back from these war zones are committing suicide. And you know, you can't really put a finger on why. So I kind of went down the rabbit hole on that, and I came up with some interesting possibilities. And I want to share this with you. This is the real reason, according to this anonymous soldier, this is the real reason why soldiers are committing suicide after they come home. Now, I quote him, "We are sending soldiers away to unwinnable wars, undeclared wars, wars in which they witness untold carnage, violent deaths and misery, families torn apart with sorrow, disdain and anger towards the occupiers, them. After seeing such tragedy and questioning why they are even there, after many times being given orders that confound their morality day after day, week after week, month after month, and sometimes year after year. And when they come back, what does the military medical do?" Now again, this is in his words. "They give them 4 or 5 bottles of pills, and what do these pills list as one of their many side effects? Thoughts of suicide. So if you got some back pain from transporting your loaded backpack up and down the mountains of Afghanistan, when you get back, we'll just give you some pills that'll make you want to kill yourself. Yet nobody in the military wants to talk about this. Why? Because it's all about the effing money. They do not give a crap about you. They are the ones that promote the pharmaceutical videos, and they aren't going to talk about it because they know that they are the effing problem. Because they know that they are in the bed with Big Pharma, and both them and the pharmaceutical companies do not care about you. Again, it's all about the money. That's all it's ever been about. That's all any of this is about. Money, conquest, control, and occupation. Then they put on classes and pretend to be proactive on how to commit suicide or how not to commit suicide. They invite these returning soldiers to participate in these classes. And these classes do not talk about the real issue. They don't talk about the prescription medication and its side effects. They will say that one of the leading causes of suicide is alcohol and drugs. But what drugs? What specific drugs? The very prescriptions that the military is prescribing them is the problem. The drugs. And this isn't going to stop. The cycle isn't going to be broken, as there is too much profit in perpetuating this. The pattern is the same. War after undeclared war. Vast profits from no-bid contracts in the defense industry. More profits for the contractors like Halliburton and KBR. Vast profits for high-ranking military officers and politicians through insider trading knowledge, ballooning their stock portfolios. Money at the expense of innocent human life. And to say it's villainous would be an understatement. Sending our youth, our children, to some foreign country, propagandizing them to think they are fighting for our country and defending democracy, when in reality, it is the total opposite. They are destroying the peace and prosperity of other countries for United States and Israeli benefit. And when they realize it, it's no wonder they come home with serious mental issues. When they do come home, they are denied benefits. They wait in line for weeks, sometimes months, for medical treatment, and are shown some videos about dealing with suicidal thought, then given bottles of pills to take with side effects, one of which is suicidal thoughts. That's totally ridiculous. And they reject rational questioning and or discussion about their actions. Now, before we go any further, I ran across a clip from Brother Nathaniel I want to share with you. So go ahead and let's make sure that we really understand who the culprit is here. Go ahead and play that clip, Mike.
Ever wonder why Israel gets away with murder? I mean literally. Whether it's burning babies in the occupied West Bank or shooting Palestinian teens, Israel's crimes go unpunished. Why? It's because international Jewry gives to Israel what no other country has, unchecked criminality. You see, international Jewry controls central banks that transfer billions in aid to nuclear-armed Israel. Stanley Fischer ran the Central Bank of Israel. He's now the de facto head of the Fed. Give him and his Rothschild masters control of the world's money, and they care not who would even dare make laws against Israel. That's why every hack panders to the Jewish state.
Under President Obama, we achieved unprecedented defense and intelligence collaboration and supported the development of the Iron Dome air defense system, which saved many Israeli lives when Hamas rockets began to fly from Gaza.
She means those homemade Hamas rockets that fell apart on roadside curbs.
Now, as I've said, it's time. It's time to take our alliance to the next level. A centerpiece of that effort must be ensuring that Israel continues to maintain its qualitative military edge.
Sure thing, Hillary. Arm the Antichrist Jewish state with nukes, jets, and subs, and the entire world is hostage to Israel's designs. Even Trump, for all his bluster, plays his part.
Okay, Colin, take it away.
Mr. Trump, multiple past presidents have attempted to establish a peace agreement between both sides of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and the one common theme is that they've all been unsuccessful. What specific steps would you take to establish an agreement between both sides?
Okay, I think it's probably the toughest agreement of any kind to make. It has been going on for many years. Many friends of mine have been involved. They're very, very good businessmen, very good negotiators. It is a very, very tough agreement to make. I was with a very prominent Israeli the other day. He says it's impossible because the other side has been trained from the time they're children to hate Jewish people.
No, Trump. The other side hates what's been done to them, not because the occupiers are Jewish, but because they stole their land, murdered their grandparents, and continue to steal and murder today.
Whose fault do you think it is?
You know, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get into it for a different reason, Joe, because if I do win, you know, there has to be a certain amount of surprise, unpredictability. Our country has no unpredictability. If I win, I don't want to be in a position where I'm saying to you and the other side now say, we don't want Trump involved. We don't want. Let me be sort of a neutral guy.
But the next day, Trump gave his deal away.
Well, you did mention that these kids that are funded by Hamas and Hezbollah.
They grow up hating.
They're growing up to hate.
That's why it's so tough. They grow up hating. They grew up, things were told to me that are incredible, and I won't even say.
What did they tell you? That phosphorus bombs were rained down on children in Gaza? That their limbs and arms were torn off by Israeli aggression? Did your Jewish friends tell you that, Donald?
How important, though, is our alliance? They're our number one ally in the region, and that alliance has been, well, fractured in a big way.
Israel is so important. What Obama has done to Israel is a disgrace.
He just upped aid to Israel to $4 billion per year instead of $3. And that's a disgrace? Those Palestinian kids know that any deal by Trump will fall short of giving them back all the orchards, towns and villages the Jews stole from their grandparents. Trump is not neutral. He favors Israel. They got the box. Israel has a blank check signed by international Jewry to continue their boundless criminality. Mess with a Zionist agenda, you get sanctioned to death. For Israel is so important, you better say so. You won't get elected if you don't.
Well, I think that pretty much sums it up in a nutshell, folks. You know, how many years has this been going on? How many years have the supposed two-state solution, the peace talks, been going on? And the United States is supposed to have been the neutral mediator between the two. Now Palestine is figuring out that we've never been. The United States has never been a neutral mediator. They have always sided with Israel. And when Donald Trump declared Jerusalem the capital, that just burnt any, well, it basically opened the eyes of the Palestinians saying, you know what, this isn't working, okay, this isn't going to happen, this is not a neutral negotiator. But it goes beyond that. At the beginning of this program, when I was talking about the people that are complicit in this, the people that are making enormous profits at the expense of human lives around the world, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Libya, all over, in Yemen, in South Africa, some of the countries over there. I mean, this is going on and on and on, and the media is totally complicit in this, and they continue to foment this propaganda over mainstream television, goose-stepping and arm-in-arm with these villainous people who care not about human life around the world. It is sick. It is absolutely atrocious. And with that, I want to, I'm going to share with you a couple of other things. A couple of things I found out as I was going through this. And again, remember, this is off the top of my head because I don't have the scripted topics at hand. I lost it on my computer today. But way back when, and I remember this fervently because I live in Arizona. And shortly after 9/11, it was about 2004, Pat Tillman, the famous ball player for the Arizona Cardinals, gave up a $3.6 million contract, and he enlisted along with his brother Kevin because he wanted to do his part and go over and find Osama bin Laden. Now, for the, many of you may know, some of you don't know, that Pat Tillman and his brother were in the same unit. Their first assignment was in Iraq, and I didn't know this, but they were assigned to be part of the team. He was in Special Forces, so was his brother. They were part of the team to go in and rescue one Private Jessica Lynch. Do you remember that, folks? Do you remember what the mainstream media did with that? Do you remember the hype that came out? There was a script that was pre-written by the Pentagon. And it's interesting that Pat Tillman, and I'm going to play a clip for you. It's quite a lengthy. It was about 10 minutes long. But it gives you an overview of what happened there. And there's, you know, it's really a matter of question. As you remember, they came out originally and said that Pat Tillman was a hero and he died at the hands saving his fellow soldiers, charging up a hill, you know, and trying to get the opposing force to retreat. Well, it was I believe 5 weeks after that that the truth actually came out. Whatever that truth may be, the story changed and they exposed that indeed Pat Tillman was killed by friendly fire. Now, it's questionable as far as that was a mistake or if that was actually commandeered by Dick Cheney and George Bush, because if memory serves me well, Pat Tillman was corresponding with a journalist, famous journalist over here in the States, and I can't remember, it might have been Seymour Hersh, I'm not sure. But he was basically giving an overview to this journalist about what he saw that was happening over there. And he was very disgruntled about it, very upset about it. And he was going to blow the lid off of it. Well, he was taken out before that. So I don't know whether he was taken out deliberately. I don't know whether Dick Cheney made the order for the dark forces to do that. Or I don't know whether it was a simple accident with friendly fire. I'm not sure. However, I will say that we do know that he was killed by our side, not their side. But in his memoirs, as he was writing, he had a journal that he wrote in, and he also was writing letters home to his wife, who turned this journal over and the letters to his wife over to an author who wrote a book about it. And in that book, it describes what Pat Tillman's feelings were regarding his position. He was worried about whether they were going to use him, if anything happened to him, use them, turn it around and use that to promote the war, use him as a fallen hero, if you will, because these thoughts came into his mind as he was in that special unit to supposedly rescue Jessica Lynch from being detained by Iraqi soldiers after she was, you know, depicted as a Rambo in a firefight, you know, killing off all comers, and ultimately she was captured after she had two broken legs, a broken arm, and was bullet riddled. Now, this was the original story that came out. Pat had written in his diary about how he thought, with the immense amount of troops going in for a rescue operation on a lowly private, he smelled a rat right up front. And what's interesting about this is that, and I'm going to play this clip for you today, what's interesting about this whole thing, well, I'll tell you what's interesting about it when I get back. Be back in three. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening. Stick around. More to come.
worry a lot. If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you
lend a hand. Yeah, we're back. As long as you lend a hand, and that's what Pat Tillman was trying to do. He was over there trying to lend a hand, and he also wanted to capture Osama bin Laden. But as I mentioned before the break, what's interesting about this whole thing is the notes that Pat Tillman was taking, the fact that he smelled a rat, and before, actually the day before, the rescue of Jessica Lynch, he wasn't a doctor, he was a pharmacist, because everybody had left. All the Iraqis had left, the soldiers had left, the doctors had left. She was being treated, and she just kept saying she wanted to go home. And this compassionate Iraqi doctor smuggled her out the day before, put her in an ambulance, and directed the ambulance driver to take her to the nearest United States post, of which the ambulance driver did, and he was subsequently shot. Now, folks, I'm not sure whether the rescue of Jessica Lynch was even Jessica Lynch, because when the photos, when they filmed it, the only part of the filming that the Pentagon allowed the press to see was when they were they had a person, I don't even know whether it was a man or a woman, on a gurney rolling her out of the hospital. When the press asked to see the entire clip of the rescue operation, which the camera crew was there, the Pentagon refused to show it. So they were hiding something. And I think personally what they were hiding was the fact that it wasn't even Jessica Lynch that was rolled out, because I think they already had her. I believe that they took her out of the ambulance. They screened and staged this whole rescue operation, knowing full well, as the Iraqi personnel was interviewed by the press after the event, that there was nobody there. There was no Iraqi army. There was nobody there that would put up any kind of a disturbance or any kind of a defense to what they were doing. And they already had the intel, and they already knew this. Now, interestingly enough, as I said, Pat Tillman was involved in this rescue operation, and he was taking notes. He put it in his journal. He was corresponding, from what I understand, with a journalist over on the domestically. And, well, it goes a lot deeper than that. So I think probably the best thing to do when I get back from the bottom of the hour break, I'm going to go ahead and let Dan play this 10-minute clip of Pat Tillman. And after that, he was assigned over into Afghanistan, which is where he finally lost his life. He was over there looking for Osama bin Laden. He wanted to find Osama bin Laden. I guess maybe he wanted to be a hero. I don't know. But I do know that later on, when Jessica Lynch was interviewed by, I believe it was ABC News, or it could have been 60 Minutes, I'm not sure, she admitted that her gun had jammed and that she didn't fire a shot. Now, is that true? Is that a lie? I'm not sure. Because according to the Army and the reports that were coming out of there, she was suffering from two broken legs, a broken arm, she was bullet-riddled, and she had, conveniently enough, amnesia. And they also said that she may never be able to give a total recount of what happened over there. Isn't that interesting how they bury it? So not only could they bury it, but if she comes out and says something, they could say, well, you know, she remembers it differently because she had amnesia. So they cover their tracks. But getting back to what I had said at the beginning of the program about all the people that are complicit in this and all of the people that are filling their wallets and their stock portfolios over this, the media is involved, the Pentagon is involved, because the Pentagon scripted a movie. They wrote the script on this movie, and they had it all set up and ready to go, and the timelines and the dates of that. Interestingly enough, even after Jessica Lynch herself admitted that she didn't fire a shot after they were painting her up to be a Rambo, NBC had already aired a movie commercial free, which means that the Pentagon, and by the way, folks, primetime television commercials are very expensive. So for that 2-hour presentation, they had to have spent $12 to $15 million, Pentagon, to pay NBC to air it. We'll be back, and then I'm going to play this clip for you, Michael Herzog of the American Awakening. Stick around, more to come.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Now, I'm going to play a clip for you. It's about 10 minutes long, and it kind of gives you a complete overview of the mindset of Pat Tillman, and we're going to take a look at just a few of the lies we've been told in attempts to glamorize a very ugly situation, continually putting lipstick on a pig, if you will. Anyway, go ahead, Dan, start that.
Pat Tillman. The Arizona Cardinals safety was known for his fierce tackles.
Shoots it over the middle, and whoa, what a hit! Pat Tillman knocked the helmet off of Isaac Byrd.
Unbridled spirit on the football field.
Here we go, baby, let's go! Okay, I'm just saying, initially we were at six.
Right.
Rob, stay Rob.
And as the unflinching patriot, who, driven by the events on 9/11, gave up his multi-million dollar career to volunteer for military duty and died in Afghanistan.
Yet as much as Pat Tillman loved competing on the football field, he loved America even more.
He's become a symbol of all those American soldiers who have sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. But now, these letters to his wife Marie and his personal journal, seen publicly here for the first time, reveal that in the year leading to his death, he'd come to have serious doubts about the way America was fighting its war on terror.
My life at this point is relatively easy.
My job is challenging, enjoyable, and strokes my vanity enough to fool me into thinking it's important.
Tillman's wife turned the journals over to John Krakauer, the best-selling author, who has written a book piecing together Tillman's tragic story.
Who does this? Who takes a perfectly perfect life and ruins it? A perfectly happy wife and marriage and jeopardizes it? Ah! If I do not strangle someone while I'm here, I was touched by an angel.
Tillman and Marie were married only a few days when he enlisted. By July 2002, married just 2 months, he was in boot camp.
As always, Marie is on my mind. I've been unable to speak with her since we've been here, and I miss the sound of her voice.
Pat and his brother Kevin enlisted together and served together in the elite Army Rangers. Their platoon mates remember them as inseparable.
They were the closest set of brothers I think I've ever seen.
Pat had joined the Army because he wanted to fight in Afghanistan to hunt for Osama bin Laden. But shortly after he completed Ranger School in 2003, the United States invaded Iraq.
Pat was extremely upset about this. He thought the war was illegal. He thought it was a mistake. He thought it was going to be a disaster. And, you know, you don't, in the Army, you're not supposed to talk about that. There's, you could, you're not supposed to talk politics. And Pat didn't shut up. You know, he told everyone who he encountered, this war is illegal as hell.
As it turned out, Pat's first mission was in Iraq, not Afghanistan.
If Kevin and I are part of a situation where we must fight, every bit of my soul knows we will fight as hard as anyone ever has. We will not question the reasons for our being here or allow any personal beliefs to interfere with our job. My hope is that decisions are being made with the same good faith that Kevin and I aim to display. I hope this war is about more than oil, money, and power. I doubt that it is.
Do you think later on he thought this is about oil?
Oh, there's no doubt. The more, you know, more time the more time Pat spent in Iraq, the more and more he realized this whole thing was terrible.
But Pat Tillman was the most famous soldier in the Army at that time and very important to a Pentagon trying to maintain public support for the war.
Donald Rumsfeld was a guy who happened to notice when Pat enlisted, he sent him a personal letter and tried really hard to turn him into the poster boy. He was watching Tillman's every move from the moment he enlisted throughout his... They knew, you know, when Pat Tillman coughed, they knew it.
Yet Pat shunned the limelight and refused to do any interviews once he joined the Army.
He didn't want any special treatment. He was content just being like everybody else. He didn't want to be glorified or put up on a pedestal. He just wanted to do what he believed in.
He was really smart about politics, and he knew that there was a really good chance that if he died, that administration would try to capitalize on it for their benefit, and he didn't want that to happen.
Pat's first mission turned out to be a high-profile rescue.
Pat and Kevin Tillman were part of the rescue for Jessica Lynch. They were involved in that. And as the Army was sending, 1,000 troops, they're organizing this incredible number of people to rescue her. Pat looked around and said, wait a minute, something's fishy here.
One day before her rescue, Pat expressed in his journal suspicions about the operation. He questioned why so many special forces were involved in it.
This mission will be a POW rescue, a woman named Jessica Lynch. I do believe this to be a big public relations stunt. Do not mistake me. I wish everyone in trouble to be rescued. But sending this many folks in for a single low-ranking soldier screams of media blitz. In any case, I'm glad to be able to do my part, and I hope we bring her home safe.
Of course, it turned out he was right. The operation had been a publicity stunt. Lynch was being treated at an Iraqi hospital, and her doctors had tried to turn her over to the Army in the days before the raid. Tillman feared that if something were to happen to him, he too would be used as propaganda. And he shared this with some of his platoon mates.
One night, Pat, kind of out of the blue, said, you know, if I get killed over here, don't let them parade me to the street. That's something I hate to think about. I'm afraid if I die, you know, they're going to make me into this symbol and they're going to parade me through the street. You know, don't let that happen.
But by the spring of 2004, Pat was on his way to Afghanistan and on his way to die. By April 2004, Pat Tillman was finally in Afghanistan. It was where he wanted to be.
He'd become much more disillusioned about the Army by what he'd seen in Iraq. But he He was going to fulfill his commitment, and he was looking forward to going to Afghanistan.
On April 22, 2004, while on mission in the mountains of Afghanistan near the Pakistan border, a Humvee broke down, and the platoon was ordered to split into two groups. Pat went with one, and his brother went with the other.
It's really sad. It's this tragic cascade of decisions.
I heard the gunfire, and then I saw the tracer rounds pouring out of the canyon.
Insurgents had attacked Kevin's group, and Pat's group raced to support them.
It was almost like a fireworks show, and my adrenaline just immediately spiked. And then once I got out of the vehicle, my squad leader, you know, he was like, all right, this is it, calm down, you know, this is what we trained for. And I kind of, you know, came back to reality for a second. And then we charged up the hill.
Communications were down, and the men under fire, including Tillman's brother, had no idea their fellow Rangers were on the ridge trying to protect them.
The guys being ambushed came racing out, guns blazing.
And I remember him, he was trying to make contact, he was waving his arms and everything.
Pat and an Afghan soldier serving with him were killed by friendly fire.
I saw him slumped over. I saw O'Neill grab him and pull him back. And that's when I could tell he was hit. Couldn't see it great. In all honesty, I didn't really want to look at it. It's a lot of, I remember seeing a whole, it just looked like a mist of red.
Kevin, who wasn't there when Pat was killed, he was at the end of the convoy. He got there later. He didn't know Pat was killed by friendly fire. Everyone else was told, don't tell Kevin. He was kept in the dark for a month.
The military told Pat's family he was killed by the Taliban. The Tillmans did not learn the truth until 5 weeks later.
I think it's wrong. I mean, you don't tell somebody a story that didn't happen to try and make them feel better. There's not a whole lot that's going to make them feel better at the time. You might as well just tell them the truth.
Pat's brother, Kevin, later went before Congress to talk about it.
Revealing that Pat's death was a fratricide would have been yet another political disaster, so the facts needed to be suppressed. An alternative narrative had to be constructed.
Krakauer's book reveals new information about Tillman's death, known until now only to the Army and his family. This video, never before aired, was taken by Army investigators in 2006. It shows the spot where Pat Tillman was killed.
Tillman was in the seizure location here.
Behind these boulders, where he was hiding from a rain of bullets.
What shocked you by that investigation?
No one's asking the right questions. They're not asking any questions. There's nothing. They just drive through the canyon. We're done now. Cut.
They began at the north end of the valley.
You think when those read this book of yours, especially within the military, and certainly within the administration under President Bush, do you think they'll be able to say you've got the wrong story?
I think they'll raise objections. They certainly will. I mean, it's not a flattering portrait of Rumsfeld, Cheney especially, some very senior members of the officer corps, generals, we're talking four-star generals, did not do the right thing with Pat Tillman. They did the wrong thing.
The general now running the entire operation in Afghanistan now, General McChrystal, you in your book talk about his role in all of this.
McChrystal is extremely quiet. He covers his tracks. He avoids publicity. But we do know that McChrystal was notified probably the night Pat was killed and certainly the next day.
We interviewed McChrystal in Afghanistan this past July. We asked him to answer a few questions about Tillman. He refused. Former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld also refused to be interviewed for this story.
Many American families have suffered the same terrible sacrifice that the Tillman family now suffers.
In a standard Army deployment form Pat filled out before he left for Iraq, he made it very clear he did not want the military to have any direct involvement with his funeral. Nevertheless, the military did.
If he was here right now and find out what happened, what do you think he would feel about the way that his funerals were treated?
He would be so angry. He would be so hurt and furious at what his family has had to suffer at the hands of the Army and the government. I mean, you know, he would want to come down and wring someone's neck, for sure.
For Nightline, I'm Bob Woodruff in New York.
All right, folks. A couple of tidbits about that. That was Nightline. They were talking about the doctors were trying to smuggle her out. I believe they did smuggle her out. The ambulance driver did take her to a United States post, and the ambulance driver was subsequently shot. Of course, this is mainstream news, so you kind of have to duck and dive in between what they say. But a couple of quick points. Pat said, who does this? Who takes a life and ruins it? And I'm going to expound on that a little bit, because we're talking about money here. We're talking about a complicit media, a complicit Defense Department, a complicit Pentagon, a complicit defense contractors. We're talking about a complete worldwide agenda here at the expense of human life. Pat knew it was an illegal war. He was disgusted, and he talked about it openly. People got wind of that. He didn't care who he talked to. He didn't care if the soldiers reported it upline. He didn't care. That was a big no-no. He was hoping that this war wasn't over oil, money, or power. And he didn't doubt that it was. We found out later it really was. Now we control the oil fields. Now we control the money. Now we control the power. Rumsfeld wrote a personal letter to this guy trying to get him on board, and Pat would have none of it. The administration capitalizing on it, the suspicions that Pat had, the public relations stunt that he found out, we all found out that it was with Jessica Lynch. Was she actually there? Was she not there? I believe she wasn't there at all. I believe whoever that was carted out, that the Pentagon only let that portion of the video be shown. They covered up everything else, and the actual rescue was put on national TV for the dumbed-down, mind-numb masses in a 3D simulation of what happened as opposed to what really happened. The family, 5 weeks later, it took them to find out the truth. Rumsfeld and McChrystal wouldn't talk about it, refused to be interviewed about it. And then, of course, at the end, we see that they naturally have to parade our old friend out there, John McCain, the biggest hypocrite in the world, the one that ducks and dives and runs and calls people that call him out on the 1967 attack on the U.S. Liberty a jerk. That report came out last week on another one of my shows. But this entire – and then, of course – even though Pat had requested and had actually almost demanded that the military do not, if anything happened to him, does not, make a big deal out of this, they did it anyway. And why? For the money. Why? To promote him as a hero, okay, and to keep that money rolling in and continue the propagandic efforts to keep the American people rah-rahing for going over and finding Osama bin Laden, which died in 2001. Most of us know that. But they had to kill him off twice with Barack Obama saying, we got him, and then dumping him in the ocean so nobody could find out, and then killing the SEAL team after that so nobody could talk. Okay, how sickening does this get? When does it stop? How does it stop? Brother Nathaniel, how do we stop Israel, who is the underlying perpetrator of all of this? The illegal wars that we fight without congressional approval for the greater expansion of Israel. And Israel themselves laughing at our goose-stepping idiots in Congress and the Senate that know that all they're doing is setting them up, thinking they're going to get a seat at the table. This is disgusting, absolutely horrendously disgusting. Now, I have to say that, Tillman knew it. I think Tillman was going to expose it, and I think they fragged him. That's my personal belief. Could be otherwise. According to that, it's friendly fire. No, I think whoever it was that killed Pat Tillman was tipped off, and I think it was orders from the top to do it. They could not afford to have somebody of his stature come out and blow the lid off of what they were trying to achieve. And it reminds me of Susan Lindauer. They could not afford to have Susan Lindauer testify before Congress and blow the lid off the propaganda that Cheney, Rumsfeld, and George Bush were trying to perpetrate. That's why they threw her in Carswell Prison. And again, I want to remind you, she'll be up Wednesday, folks, and I'll have the phone lines open. Probably let her rant on for, an hour or so. She's really good at that. I could take a nap before I have to interject, which is kind of fun at times. That said, now, Jessica Lynch, at 19 years old at that time, creating an illusion of a Rambo figure. And if you've seen any videos of Jessica Lynch, she's pretty slight of build. I would call her petite. So if you can, visualize her decked out in Rambo uniforms, shooting like there's no tomorrow, which was a complete and total lie. She popped the bubble on that one herself on an ABC TV news interview. And I believe, I can't remember who it was. Was it not Greta Van Susteren? It might have been. There was somebody that interviewed her when she posed the question that was it indeed true that she was shooting at everything that moved? And she said, no, her gun is jammed. But remember, they're also hiding her under that cloud of amnesia. So anything that she does say that doesn't fit with their narrative, they can always turn around and say, well, she doesn't remember. Now, I'm going to get into a little bit about what they are doing, which was what my program was going to be about today, and I had a number of different listings that I was going to touch base on with specifics. So I'm going to give you an overview of what they are indeed doing to our military, both the veterans and the enlisted men, and a little bit of the history behind it and how it happened. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around, more to come. I'll open the phone lines here shortly, 800-313-9443. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of. Just knew too much.
right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Does that make me crazy? Possibly. But how did I go crazy? I remember a time back before I woke up, got off my couch and went to my computer and started doing searches, getting into different search engines and looking around for things other than Bertha's dog getting caught in a sewer that was being broadcast as a highlight of the news broadcast on NBC that night. And it took me on a journey down a rabbit hole that I can't get out of. I get up out of one, I go down another. And I can't, every day that goes by, I see this whole thing clearer and clearer. These are illegal wars that are continually being fought for the greater expansion of Israel. And our political, quote, leaders, if you will, are either complicit in it, they are compromised by it, or they are so greedy and stupid that they go along with it. Pick your poison. I don't know. But I do know this. This has been going on now for 17 years. Right after 9/11 is when we went into Afghanistan. We have occupied that country now for 17 years. Doing what? Looking for Osama bin Laden? He died in 2001. Let's go to Angelique. Angelique, you're on with Michael. It flipped off my screen. I didn't see where you were from, so go ahead. How you doing?
Okay. Am I talking to Michael yet?
Yeah, you're talking to me. You're in Vermont? You're Angelique? Yes,
oh,
you're talking
to
Michael.
I think I'm watching a rerun. I never miss your shows, but a lot of times I have to catch up with them a day or two later. The one I'm watching with you now about vaccines, bad news. Any way you look at it, I'm so proud of you for telling people, don't do it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I don't know which... are you watching this on YouTube? Or are you going on RBN or what? RBN's website?
YouTube, I guess.
Okay.
And I think I'm watching one of your reruns. But, you know, I like to do that because I don't get commercials that way.
Oh, okay. I'm a little confused as to where specific... are you watching it in, through my website? Or are you watching it on YouTube itself or what?
I was just watching your program on YouTube, but I called you before, and I found your number in my telephone book, and I said, okay. It's kind of really, really crazy. I'm trying to get a hold of a couple other people that broadcast about vaccines and ugliness, fun things like that. For example, mm-hmm. Loren Murray, Dana Durnford, Alfred Lemp.
Go ahead. Listen, I'm going to have to hold you over. I got to go to the top of the hour break here, Angelique, but I'll hold you over if you have something else you want to add. Okay? Angelique?
I'm sorry, I won't hang up.
Okay.
Figure out I've paid a price and I'll keep paying.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-